Well, good evening, everyone. A warm word of welcome once again to the house of the Lord. This beautiful Lord's Day evening, we welcome you in the Saviour's name. And we do pray that the Lord will bless us and the Lord will be near unto us, even as we're in his house this evening. Let me just remind you of the announcements for the incoming week. But firstly, can I just mention and ask the committee just for a moment of their time immediately after this evening's service, please. And then on Wednesday evening, we have our prayer meeting and our Bible study at 8 p.m. and we'll be continuing our studies in the book of 2 Peter. And we do invite and encourage you to come aside on the Wednesday evening to study God's Word and to seek the throne of grace in prayer, young and old alike. We love to see you in God's house. We love to even hear God's people praying. And let me encourage you this Wednesday evening to come and to be part of our prayer meeting. On Friday evening, there is a presbytery for members of session, and it's in our Corian congregation at 8 p.m. Then the service is next Sunday, Sabbath school in the morning at 10:30, and then we have our youth Sunday services, 11:30 and 7 p.m. It will be preceded by the times of prayer in the upper room, and God willing, in both the morning and the evening service, our young people will be taking part in various ways. And the special speaker at both services next week is Mr. Stephen Greer. He's no stranger to us here, and we're looking forward as the Lord's servant will come and minister to us. We do remind you again that all of the loose money that's lifted on our Youth Sunday goes towards the youth work of the church. And so we do leave that before you and encourage you even to give as the Lord has prospered you. We do remind you as well that we've moved the barbecue, the church barbecue. It's no longer Friday the 16th, but God willing will be Friday the 23rd of June. And if you can set that time aside, we'll have the lists out next week in relation to it, just to finalise the numbers for all of the preparation side of it. But do, if you can, set that Friday evening aside. It's always good to have the times of fellowship together. And we'd love to see you even here on that Friday evening. We mentioned to you again the book by the Reverend Stanley Barnes on Psalm 23. Five have already shifted. We're doing well. Five in the one morning. They're priced at £7, and we've seven more copies here. And if you'd like a copy, then please put your name on the list in the front porch, and we have them here in the pulpit. We'll get them to you this evening. Do continue, as we mentioned this morning, continue to remember the Hamilton family in your prayers, that the Lord will bless them. The Lord will be very near, very precious unto them at these times. The Lord will give that grace, that much-needed grace, both to Mrs. Hamilton and indeed to the Reverend Hamilton, to their daughters, to their family, the grandchildren as well. That the Lord be very near unto each one of them. Keep the students in your prayers in this incoming week, and also keep the mission encumbered in your prayers, that the Lord will bless in all of these needs. Let's turn our hymn books to the hymn 629 as we commence our worship this evening. The hymn 629, the page is 430. From every stormy wind that blows, from every swelling tide of woes, there is a calm and a safe retreat, 'tis found beneath the mercy seat. 629, we'll stand together as we sing, please.
Every storm we wind that blows, from every swelling tide.
we'll still ourselves in God's presence and seek the blessing in the presence of God again. Let's unite together around that mercy seat. Cry on to the Lord. Our Father and our gracious God in heaven, we come into thy presence. We do thank thee and praise thee for the new and living way in which we approach thee. We thank thee for the veil that was rent in twain. We thank thee, O God, for the blood that has been offered, that blood of Christ, the blood that speaketh better things than that of Abel's. We thank thee, O God, that blood has been sprinkled upon the mercy seat on our behalf. And Lord, we do rejoice it is a speaking blood. We rejoice that it is a powerful and a pure and perfect blood. And we plead that blood and we plead the merits of it before thee this evening. We thank thee for the fellowship that we can have around the throne of grace. We thank thee, O God, for fellowship already around it tonight in the upper room. Lord, for those times of prayer together, those times when we join together in that corporate fashion to cry unto thee and to lift up our hearts and our voices unto thee. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt enable us, Lord, ever to be mindful of that place and ever to come to that place where we come even upon redemption ground, we come as friend to friend. And Father in heaven, we thank thee this night for the acceptance and for the invitation to come to thee. Lord, we acknowledge that thou art a holy God. And Lord, we acknowledge that there's nothing in and of ourselves is worthy. There's nothing that we can hold up that we can say, this is why we approach thee, save the finished work of Jesus Christ. We thank thee for our Savior, the one who loves us, the one who gave himself for us, the one who took our sin, the one who became the man of sorrows, the one who was acquainted with grief, the one who did not hide away, but rather he set his face as at flint towards Jerusalem. And he went the whole way to the cross. He was the one who had the power to lay down his life, to take it up again. And we thank thee that's what he did. He gave his life as that ransom for many. We thank thee and we praise thee this night that Christ is risen. We thank thee for the one in the glory, the one at thy right hand, the great God-man himself. And we do pray that even as we are here in this building tonight, that we will worship, we will praise, and we will meet afresh with Christ. Oh, Father, remember us for good. Remember, O God, the need of this meeting that lies before us. Bless, we pray thee. We pray for the protection to be round about us. We pray for the presence to be that reality to each one. We pray for the speaking voice of God to our hearts. Remember each one that is here. We thank thee, Lord, for thy hand of goodness upon us. We thank thee for the opportunity to be here tonight. We thank thee for each one that has taken that opportunity. Lord, that thou hast ordered our footsteps and brought us here. We pray that thou wilt bless and that thou wilt undertake. We're mindful of those that are away, even in this bank holiday weekend. We pray that thou wilt be near to them, that thou wilt refresh them and keep them safe. Bring them even back amongst us, O God, and thy will. Lord, remember all of our congregations. Remember all of the needs of this land. Remember all of the needs of our denomination. Remember, O God, the cause of Christ in Northern Ireland. We thank thee, O God, that the gospel came to this land. We thank thee that the gospel has stayed in this land. We thank thee, O God, for the light that shines in many cities, many towns and villages. And we do pray that that light will shine brightly for thee, that it will shine into the darkened corners, that even the vilest offender, the chiefest of sinners, will be brought to saving faith in Christ. O Lord, we pray for the going forth of thy word. We pray for the demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost, that thou wilt quicken the dead, that thou wilt open the eyes of the blind, that thou wilt save precious souls. Lord, unite families, save husbands, save fathers, save wives, save mothers, save children. Save, O God, brothers and sisters. Give us that joy in households at seeing our loved ones won for thee. O God, hear us this night. Be very near unto us. Bless, we pray thee here. Bless right across our land every faithful servant of thine. Bless every opportunity.
be in churches, whether it be in, whether, oh God, it be in drive-in meetings, whatever the occasion. Oh Father, we pray that Thou wilt bless and that Thou wilt save precious souls. Hear and answer prayer. Bless us tonight, we pray Thee. In Jesus' name. Amen. 628 is our second hymn this evening, keeping with the theme of prayer. 628, I am praying, blessed Savior, to be more and more like Thee. I am praying that Thy Spirit, like a dove, may rest on me. 628 again, we'll stand as we sing, please. Standing the brakes, because I was full on going and then went, no, back off, slow down. But they're lovely words in that hymn. Even as we think of prayer, which is our desire to do tonight. And so I encourage you to open your Bible, 2 Kings in the chapter 20. 2 Kings in the chapter 20. It's really just tying in again with that little series we've been dipping in and out of, the characteristics of the king. The final one I want to consider with you is the prayer of the king, or the praying of the king. And 2 Kings in the chapter 20, the opening verse we'll begin at this evening. 2 Kings 20 in the verse 1, it says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and he prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for mine own sake, and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, Take a lump of figs. And they took it, and they laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, This sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he hath spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, It is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. We're going to sing one more hymn together. Well-known hymn 625, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. All our sins and our griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. 625, let's remain seated, please, for the first part of the hymn. encourage you to have your Bible open in 2 Kings in the chapter 20. The end of verse 1, just to remind you of it, Isaiah's word from the Lord was, "Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, and he prayed unto the Lord. As I said, I want to look with you this evening at the prayer of the king. The prayer of the king. Let's just pray. Ask the Lord to speak to us, to help us this evening, even as we come to this passage. Heavenly Father, we bow in thy presence. Oh Father, such a blessing, such a privilege that we can pray to thee. We don't have to come through a man, a priest, a minister, whatever the case. We don't go through any other. We come directly to thee through thy dear Son. And we thank thee, O God, that we can bring every need, every care upon our hearts and upon our minds. We can bring it all to thee. And Father, now even as we come to consider this passage, we come to consider Hezekiah. We come to consider him and his great need and what he did, what he prayed. Oh, Father, we ask thee that thou wilt bless and that thou wilt speak to our hearts. Encourage us, O God, in prayer. Oh, that it will stir our hearts to pray and to even believe more and more in prayer. Not simply to cast it aside, but to have it even as that practice within our lives. Not simply on a daily basis, but on a continual basis, even throughout the day, that we will know what it is to lift up our hearts unto thee, to cry unto thee, to speak with thee, to leave all with thee. Oh, Father, come, we pray thee, fill us with thy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the great commentators in church history, now on the topic of prayer, without a doubt, is E.M. Bounds. And if you've ever read any of E.M. Bounds' work, it is certainly a treasure when it comes to that topic and to that practice of prayer. And if you were looking quotations, you could get many, for there are many different quotations and wonderful quotations of E.M. Bounds. But I leave you with one this evening that ties in with the topic. Because E.M. Bounds said on one occasion, he says, "Prayer is the language of a upon her that she couldn't get into the bed. And she couldn't lay her head down, she couldn't rest, and she couldn't just switch it off. And so she got down on her knees and she began to pray. And she prayed earnestly. And she prayed for one thing in particular, it was her husband. Her husband, who was returning to America on board the ship Titanic. And unknown to her, of course, Titanic had hit an iceberg. And the burden of prayer was upon her, and she prayed and she prayed and she prayed, and she couldn't stop and she couldn't get away from praying, and so she continued to pray for her husband until it came to 5 o'clock in the morning. And at 5 o'clock in the morning, a peace came over her. And she got into bed and she went to sleep. Unknown to her at that time, her husband, as I said, was on Titanic. But serving on board Titanic, her husband was getting as many women and children into lifeboats as he possibly could. He never left his station, he never abandoned the people. And so whenever Titanic eventually went down through the waves, he was sucked down with that drawing power of the boat as it went further and further below the water, and naturally he began to kick upwards. And he was brought to the top of the water. Was a boat overturned nearby. And He crawled aboard the top of that boat, freezing, soaked. Within an hour, he was found. By 5 a.m., he was in safety. She prayed all night with that earnestness upon her heart for her husband. Certainly, as we see time and again, both in Scripture, prayer is not something to scoff at or to ignore. Your prayer life is not something to pick up and to set aside. It's not just there in the times of emergency. It's there to be used. It's there to be practiced on a daily and a continual basis. Prayer that comes from God and prayer that returns to God is of great importance and is of great power both to individuals and to all of their needs. Regardless of who we are, we see in this passage it's a king who reigns and a king who rules, and yet it is a king who is not above the necessity for prayer. A king who had the understanding that regardless of how dark and how bleak the situation was, he had an avenue, he had an access into the throne room of heaven. He had one that he could turn to, and he had one that he understood nothing was too difficult for. And so we come this evening to consider this passage in 2 Kings 20. The most monumental time in all of the life of King Hezekiah. As we enter into the chapter, just to set the context, Hezekiah has been king for 14 years. He's at the age of 39. And for 14 years, he has not had a quiet reign. If you go back and you look through chapter 18, if you look at verse 3, it tells us in that verse that he did that which was right in the sight of God, according to all that David his father did. Verse 4 tells us that Hezekiah removed the high places, he broke the images, he cut down the groves, he broke in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. Verse 5, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. Then whenever you read on down, if you go verse 6, it tells us he clave to the Lord, and he departed not from following him. Verse 7 tells us, the Lord was with him, he prospered whithersoever he went. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria, he served him not. Verse 8, then he's contending with the enemies, he smote the Philistines, even unto Gaza and all the borders thereof, from the tower of the watchmen to the fenced city. And so within those opening 14 years, he has had a great desire to turn the nation once again to God. He is a man that loves the Lord for himself. He is a man that has given himself to the Lord. He is following after the Lord with all of his heart. And so he will not abide with the enemies of the Lord. He will not abide with the Assyrians. He will not abide with the Philistines. And so he fights against them. He turns his back on them. And he will not abide the wickedness even of false religion. And so he will turn the nation once again to God. He breaks down the groves. He breaks down the high places. He breaks down the brazen serpent. He breaks it all down. 14 years he had spiritual reformation. And he had military transformation. In 14 years the army has grown stronger and stronger. And the enemy is being put to the sword. But then as we come to chapter 20, all changes. In chapter 20, he's going to use the greatest weapon he has in all of his nation. He's going to pray. There are three things I want to leave with you in relation to prayer and the prayer of the king. I want you to see, firstly, that prayer is essential. Prayer is essential. Verse 1 tells us that Isaiah the son of Amos came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. You literally cannot get any worse news than that. And to have that context being brought to it, to have the prefix before it, thus saith the Lord. So therefore it carries the weight of divine authority upon it. It's not simply Isaiah telling you and telling him saying, I believe you're going to die. Isaiah has come in and he has said, thus saith the Lord. You're not going to live. You're going to die. Hezekiah was greatly sick. As I said, he's a king of only 39 years of age. He's a young man. I'm saying that because I haven't got to 39 yet. So until I get there, he's still young. A young king of 14 years. But as we enter into this passage, Hezekiah is bedridden. He has a boil upon his body. That boil grew and festered, and then it turned septic. So there's a poison, there's a real infection upon his body that is literally going to kill him. And such is the agony and such is the pain of it, he is in so much pain and discomfort and weakness, he cannot get off his bed. He cannot even walk a few steps. He cannot go to his favorite place in all of the land, the temple. It is impossible for him to do anything but lie there. And all of the doctors have come in and all of the physicians have come in and none of them have helped. And so he is in that place and Isaiah comes with it to him with that news. You're going to die. What you have upon your body is terminal. On top of that personal pain is national peril. Because whenever you go to chapter 18 in the verse 13, it tells us that in the 14th year of King Hezekiah did Sennacherib, king of Syria, come against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them. And so here was Hezekiah. He's turned away from the Assyrians. He no longer is following after them. And so Sennacherib has invaded. Because Hezekiah is turning away and refusing to bow the knee to Sennacherib, Sennacherib has invaded and taken all of the fenced cities. And so in a time whenever the nation needed a strong king, a time whenever the nation needed a king who was visible, a king who was to the forefront, a king that they could turn to, a king that could lead them in the battle and could say, here is our king, we follow after our captain. He's led aside in a bed of sickness and pain. Now yes, Sennacherib, whenever you read chapter 19, 35, 36, Sennacherib's defeated. But the people of Judah are still in high alert. All of this is happening in the same year. Sennacherib's invasion, the fight and the conquest against Sennacherib, and now Hezekiah's sickness is all within the 1 year of King Hezekiah's reign. In our opinion, we would say the timing couldn't have been any worse. If you were there in Hezekiah's control room, you were one of his leaders, one of his generals. All of the courtiers, all of the different princes of the land. This great nation of Assyria is against you. And all of the heightened tension in the area and in the land. Then your king is dying. You would think this can't get any worse. This is all just, everything's the wrong time in here. But in the will of God, his timing's perfect. His ways aren't our ways. Hezekiah's in a terrible place, such as intense agony, weakness, he cannot get out of the bed. Isaiah says this sickness is unto death. No, you think of pain, you think of suffering, you think of death. All three of them bring us back to the same thing, doesn't it? sin. Before sin, there was no pain, there was no suffering, there was no death. And whenever you consider what's happening in Hezekiah's life, you're looking at sin. You're looking at the problem of sin. You're looking at the pain of sin. And you're ultimately looking at the penalty of sin. Because what Hezekiah is experiencing upon that bed, while it's not a result of his own sin per se, it is a result of sin. Romans 8:22 tells us the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. All of us experience pain in our lives because of sin. Physical pain, mental pain, all of it is experienced within us because of sin. You see, the problem is, there upon all of us, there's not one as beyond experiencing the results of sin. Here was a king. A king with the greatest physicians and doctors in the land, and yet he is experiencing the results of sin. They can't help him. They're powerless. There's not one given a healing balm or a helping hand in any regard. Nothing they're doing is raising him up again. And so he gets the news that soon he's going to experience the penalty for sin. He's going to die. Because sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. What a picture it is, even in these opening words of chapter 20, what a picture is there before us of the depravity and the disaster of sin in the world. Of what it has done. What a picture is before us, even in these verses, of the sin and the depravity upon our land, upon our families, and how important it is, therefore, to pray. How important prayer is in the midst of such pain in our land, in the midst of such pain in communities, in the midst of such pain even within families. I have no doubt in this verse and in this time in Hezekiah's life, I have no doubt he's not simply thinking about himself. He's thinking about his family. He's thinking about his nation. I have no doubt he's thinking, what will happen when I die? Because at this stage, Hezekiah doesn't have an heir. He doesn't have a son. What's going to happen to the kingdom? Who follows on? I have no son. I have no heir that they can turn to and that they can anoint. Who takes over this nation? What happens to my wife? What happens to my kingdom? What happens to everything when I'm gone? So many burdens upon the one man. You know, life's like that at times, isn't it? Times in your life and you're weighed down with burdens. Burden for your family. Burden for your health, for the health of loved ones. Burdens of finances, of jobs. Burdens of the pressure, maybe of bringing children up and all of the concerns for your children as you see them grow up. You see the decisions that they make. You see the paths that they begin to walk. And you have all of these burdens weighing upon your mind and upon your heart. And you have constant that thought and what if? What if they go this way? What if they end up here? What happens when I'm no longer about? What happens when the influence of the father, of the mother, is taken out of the home and out of their lives completely? What happens whenever the Lord says, your time is up? What about my child? Prayer is essential. Casting it all upon the Lord is essential. Looking to the Lord for everything is essential. Hezekiah received this news and he prayed. Prayer was essential. I want you to see, secondly, verses 2 and 3, that prayer was earnest. Prayer was earnest. It tells us in verse 2, he turned his face to the wall and he prayed unto the Lord. In the end of verse 3, it tells us that Hezekiah wept sore. Hezekiah knew what it was to pray. Never for one minute think Hezekiah didn't pray. Hezekiah knew what it was in the times of every need in the nation and in his own home and in his own family and in his own heart. Hezekiah knew what it was to go to the temple. You turn back just one chapter, chapter 19, to verse 1, that the noise or the news comes to Hezekiah. Verse 1, it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it that he rent his clothes, he covered himself with sackcloth, and he went into the house of the Lord. Verse 4, it tells us that he then says, it may be that the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria. And then he goes on down into verse 4, he says at the end of it, wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. You go down to the verse 14, Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers, and he read it, and Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord, and he spread it before the Lord. Every time that any news came to him, any time that a letter came to him, any time that a decision had to be made, Hezekiah went aside to the temple of the Lord and he just simply spread it before the Lord. Hezekiah knew what it was to pray. Now Hezekiah can't get to the temple. He is so ill, the most he can do is turn over in his bed. And so his wall becomes his prayer closet. He cries on to the Lord, verse 3. If you look at his prayer, he says, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart. I've done that which is good in thy sight. In other words, he's crying unto the Lord. And he's saying, Lord, I've lived for thee. I've obeyed thee. Lord, I've sought to do my very best. I've sought to follow thee. I've sought to follow thy word. I have tore down all of the idols, all of the shrines, the groves. I've turned this nation. I've sought to lead my people in following after thee. This isn't boasting, by the way. He's not praying like a Pharisee. He's not praying and standing in the temple like the Pharisee did. Lord, I thank thee that I'm not like others. I fast and I give and all of my money. And I thank thee that I'm not like the publican. This isn't this. Hezekiah is pleading before the Lord, and Hezekiah is simply crying unto the Lord and saying, Lord, I have lived for thee. I've served thee. Lord, why am I dying? You see, in Hezekiah's mind was the promises of God. Promises like Proverbs 3, 1 and 2, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Proverbs 10, 27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. Hezekiah is living in that realization of the word of God. And he's saying, Lord, your word has said, if I follow thee, thou prolongeth my days, but Lord, I'm only 39. Lord, my life's being taken. Here was Hezekiah, and just been told as a result of his illness he's going to die. He can think of his enemies. Men, kings, not just enemies of his, but enemies of God. And they're seemingly prospering. They're in health, they're in strength, their nations are strong. whilst he is weak and dying. You know, it is something that does annoy believers. Never dark providences come upon you, and yet the unsaved seem to prosper. The Church of Christ suffers, but the unsaved just seem to go from strength to strength. The hardships, the health deteriorates, but yet those that drink, smoke, live riotous living just seem to be fine. It does annoy believers. It annoyed Asaph. The psalmist in Psalm 73, he confesses, he says, "I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." He looked upon those of the ungodly and they're prospering. He was envious. It annoyed the prophet Habakkuk over in Habakkuk in the chapter 1. Habakkuk says in verse 1, it says, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Verse 2, he begins to pray. He says, "O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not see. If why dost thou show me in iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. His complaint is, therefore the law is slack, judgment doth never go forth, the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth." Habakkuk's burden, and he's saying, "Lord, why is everything the wrong way round? Why is the law not being applied to these ungodly? Why is there slackness? Why is there violence on every side?" As I said, we can look round, we can see godly believers going through dark, dark providences. Cancers, heart attacks. I know of ministers of God that once preached faithfully week by week. Now dementia set in upon them, they don't even know who they are. Breaks our hearts. And broke Hezekiah's heart. He didn't just pray words. He poured his heart out onto the Lord. He wept. See, child of God, we need to learn. We need to remember what earnest praying is. It's not just words. It's when your heart's broken. Alan Redpath, he says, "Much of our praying is just asking God to bless some folks that are ill. Asking God to keep us plugging along. But prayer is not merely prattle. It's warfare." John Bunyan, he says, "In prayer it is better to have a heart without words than words without a heart." C.H. Spurgeon, he says, "Do not reckon you have prayed until you have pleaded. For pleading is the very marrow of prayer." How many of us just say words? We just go through your list. We just say the same phrases. Say the same words. Wonder when was the last time you truly prayed? Earnest praying. Not just said words. Not just rhymed off a little phrase. When was the last time you prayed? Hezekiah was earnest. He turned to the wall. Wept. Prayer is essential. Prayer is earnest. Thirdly and finally, I want you to see in the verses 5 and 6, power then is experienced. Power is experienced. Verse 5, Isaiah gets the word, "Turn again, tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee, and on the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord." You know, whenever Hezekiah received that first news, there was nothing he could do but pray. It was only the Lord who could spare him. It was only the Lord who could make him live. It's a wonderful picture of salvation. Salvation is only possible through the Lord. It is only the Lord that can bring us from death unto life. We are dead in trespasses and in sins. A dead person can do absolutely nothing for themselves. If someone is dead, they cannot move, they cannot breathe, they cannot speak, they cannot do anything for themselves. And it's only the Lord by His Spirit can change you. It's only the Lord that can work within you to originate life. Hezekiah was here. He was absolutely helpless. And he prayed. And God sends word. You will live. You've had 14 years. I'll give you another 15. You're bedbound in your illness. You will walk within 3 days. And you will stand in the temple in 3 days. You know, whenever you think of that, just in passing, for Hezekiah to be allowed in the temple, he had to be clean. If you had a boil, sores, if you had blood upon your being, you were rendered unclean. You couldn't have got in the temple. But God said, in 3 days, you'll be standing before me in the temple of God. Full recovery promised. And all of those nations, like the Assyrians, all of the enemies of your people, all of the enemies of mine, those that are invading, those that are terrorizing you, those that are terrorizing your people, I'm going to give you victory over every one of them. And I'm going to give you peace. And I'm going to give you prosperity. Oh, marvelous, all wonderful blessings and answers to prayer. And then he goes further. Because in the verse 8, Hezekiah says unto Isaiah, "What shall the sign be that the Lord will heal me?" Do you notice what he says here? He says, "What shall the sign be that the Lord will heal me and that I shall go into the house of the Lord the third day?" Hezekiah views his attendance in the house of God as important as his health. He puts as much emphasis on being healthy as he does about being present in God's house. Now that's a challenge. And many of us put them in the same line. That our health is as important as our presence, as our attendance in God's house. You often hear the phrase, "Your health is your wealth." If you lose your health, you've lost everything. Well, how much or how many of us would apply church attendance to that? But your church attendance, not out of legalism, you know that I don't believe in any way legalism, but your church attendance with that heart that is ready and stirred of the Spirit of God, then that's as important, not your prosperity. That's everything. Fellowship. God's people and God's house around the things of God. That's your blessing. He's given the answer then to verse 10. Because he says it's a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. The dial going back 10 degrees meant something undeniable, unexplainable, and unrepeatable. He was saying the sun must go backwards instead of going forward. If you told that to a scientist, that the sun's going to go backwards, they would say, well, then that's going to affect everything. If you move back on the dial, if you go back the 10 degrees, well then the earth's already spinning. In man's opinion, the earth is spinning on its axis. And if you go back on that, then everything's going to fall and everything's going to fail. The laws of gravity, the laws of science, they'll all just combust as it were. But he's saying, God, if you're going to heal me, you do this. You move that sun backwards. You go outside, as it were, of the laws of science and of physics. Well, remember, God's outside of the laws anyway. He's in the heavens, as we looked at on Wednesday evening. He's in the heavens doing as he pleases. The dial's moved. The sun goes back. And it wasn't just Israelites that noticed it. It was all of the nations. Because whenever you look in 2 Chronicles 32 and 31, it tells us the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in his land. There was Babylonians and those astrologers, those that always were interested in the stars and all of the sun and all of the signs of the sky, and they were watching everything. They sent ambassadors from Babylon to Jerusalem asking, what was the wonder? How did that happen? Hezekiah, of course, by that stage raised up to strength, was simply able to point to the Lord and say, it is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. My friend, as I close, I say this. Never limit God. Never limit His power. Never limit His possibilities. Hezekiah was raised up. His enemies were defeated. The power was evidenced not only in Jerusalem and not only in Israel and not only in Judah. It was witnessed throughout the nations. Never give up in prayer. What an encouragement to pray. Even if you think a challenge in your life's too great. You think a heart's too hard. See, at Spurgeon, I close with this. He says, if there be anything under heaven that I am as sure of, it is the fact that God answers prayer. Hezekiah believed it. He turned to the wall and he cried to the Lord. Never give up in prayer. Never give up in God. With God, all things are possible. Look to Him. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee. We thank Thee for the great weapon that we have of prayer. We thank Thee, Father, that we come before One who is all-living and all-powerful. One who created all things and One who controls all things. We acknowledge our lives are in Thy hands. We acknowledge that Thou art in control of all things. And Father, even as we consider the needs that there are within families, the needs in communities, the needs of our nation, oh God, may we be much in prayer, earnest praying, not simply saying words, but crying unto Thee. Oh Father, separate us now with Thy blessing. And take us to our homes in safety in these days. Watch over us and be with us in the week to come. In Jesus' name, amen.